7:21, sunshine and 57 degrees on a Thursday. It is crazy days, people streaming into downtown Northfield already. We have a couple of special guests joining us right now who have really nothing to do with crazy days. It's from the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue. We have Board Chair Paul Liebenstein joining us, as well as Tom Nelson, the interim fire chief. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jeff. I was disappointed. I parked in back of the building, and I came around front, and I was looking for the massive table of Rich Larson and Jeff Johnson headshots signed, and so there's nothing outside. And so, yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I figured your marketing folks next year are going to have to tool it up a little more.
We're set up downtown on Square is where you'll find where you'll find.
First prize is one mug. Second prize is one signed by Rich.
Yeah, that would be it. Let's talk about, speaking of party, it was crazy days today. It's kind of a day to have fun in downtown Northfield, as was last Saturday, as the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue, our Northfield Fire Department in general, celebrated 150 years.
Yeah, it turned out, I mean, all of us were looking at the weather on Friday night, and it said, oh, rain from 2, basically, through the night. And so, you know, we had a bout of storms that came through in the morning and amazingly cleared up, and we were able to get everything out onto the street, and Leonard Schrader and the Minnesota Fire Engine Club got their stuff all set up, and we had a great, great day. Great turnout, great weather, a lot of fun.
And that has, you know, in some ways it was kind of against all odds because you had the rain that came through right before then as you're trying to get set up, and about that time, I just kept seeing fire trucks going here and there and being dispatched. You had a busy day, and that's part of daily life as a firefighter and part of the fire and rescue program.
Yeah, we had Lonsdale had a big semi-fire out on the interstate, and it's right, they handled the southbound lane, we handled the northbound lane, and the call came in the median, and so we said, let's go out and give them a hand. And so that was a good trip to get out, and we checked that off, so we had the call off for the day, out. Done for that day.
But the good news is all the trucks came back. You had a great night. A lot of kids. So seeing so many kids out there, whenever you have open up the big pieces of equipment, man, that really, the kids light up, and especially when the helicopter came, it's just good to see that younger generation. You were probably part of it not long ago.
A while ago, but yeah, I remember that. And what was nice about doing it when it's not the official fire prevention week for everyone in the state is there are all those resources that we typically can't get. We had the kitchen fire demonstration to show what happens if you pour water on top of a fire in the kitchen that has oil in it. We had the ABC fire extinguishers, dry chem, where lots of people went through and actually did a true hands-on fire extinguisher training. And people were able to have their kids try shooting a fire hose back over by the river, and so and then having the helicopter come in, that's always a lot of fun to have that come in. So yeah, it was well done. Aramis Wells pulled this whole thing together and was just amazing. And like I said, the Minnesota Fire Engine Club was able to be the true headliner by lining the bridge and the Water Street parking lot well into the evening, and again the weather, and then rounded it off by the dance at the Grand. So it was a really good time. A lot of support for the fire department, and we were able to show off a lot of the equipment and everything else.
Yeah, I love the pictures that he had dug up from 150 years going through there, and the complete fire department went downstairs into the downstairs under a basement, and they had the firemen through the years, and including the last two or three decades of guys that are retiring right now. You have quite a few retiring, and they were young ones too.
Yeah, I remember it's always guys. Any of us that talk big about, you know, being on the fire department a long time, and then some of the new folks go down and look at those pictures and went, wow, you used to have a lot of hair, or
who's the skinny guy?
Yeah, who's that?
It was good to see some of those old retired guys. There was quite a few, and some of the former chiefs down at the celebration as well, and get to talk to them. And I know they were kind of looking over some of the new equipment and thinking it was pretty nice compared to maybe what they had back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have annually, it's usually in the fall, we'll have what we call Old Codgers Night, where all the retired firefighters are brought back, and we have quarterback chicken and ribs, And we usually have it right in the fire hall so that they can come down and see the trucks. And mm-hmm. so it was nice to kind of have a mid-year way of getting a lot of those folks back. And they got their shirt uniform to wear and to be able to tell stories. And then it's a chance for all the new firefighters to be able to kind of meet those folks and then see them around town. And, oh, yeah, you're one of the new recruits. So it's part of the team building.
All right.
I think, too, more important than, you know, it's always fun and exciting to get to see the trucks and climb in. It isn't just the little kids, but I think more important to get to see the firemen and the firefighters in a different setting that you would see. You know, they're not in all their gear and whatnot, and get to meet and visit with them. I think it's a real important thing to do for in the community. And they're, and I heard more than one person thanking the firefighters for what they do. So that was really good to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into some other areas. You just had a meeting last week and a presentation in front of the city council as well about the budget, which is probably going to look a little bit different in 2023 than what we've come accustomed to seeing from NAFRS the last few years since the beginning of your existence. Tell us about that. Did you have to present two budgets to them?
Through the process, we've been doing the two-track budget. And so Ben Martig, who's the city administrator for Northfield, who is an ex officio on the NAFRS board, said through the budget process is if you're going to come in with two budgets, present the higher one. In this case, it would be the one with the full-time chief, so that the parties can budget for that amount. And if in October, when you get to that point, if the decision is made, for a part-time chief, well, it's easier to say, oh, this budget's gone down as the cities and the rural fire district go through the process than it is to say, oh, it's all of a sudden it's now going to be higher.
And for our listeners out there, the council is going to have to put a preliminary budget levy, a number of how much it's going to increase or, I guess, decrease or stay the same. That has to be done in September. So they're on a time schedule for that. And you can always go lower after you set that, but you can't go higher. Let's talk about, you mentioned the fire chief. The search, is it begun yet? Have we decided? Where are you at in the decision-making process between full-time and part-time? And Paul, maybe you can address that.
Yes, the personnel committee has been working on a job description for the full-time chief and set up a timeline for interviewing and whatnot, which I believe starts in October and then kind of runs through till the first of the year, and kind of who is going to do the interviewing and whatnot. And so that personnel committee's been pretty busy working on that, but that's a little bit a ways off yet, and we'll have to probably decide in September, I would think, on which route we're going to go, whether it's be a part-time or full-time
mm-hmm.
chief.
Do you have meetings on that? Do they have like daily meeting, or I shouldn't say daily, but maybe weekly meetings? Is there an information gathering component to this?
I think they're more on a monthly schedule.
Okay.
And then we do have a firm that's helping us with, you know, with our employee things anyways. And so they're kind of spearheading a lot of that to help with. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
All right.
What the personnel committee did talk about last month was, and presented to the Joint Powers Board, was kind of a rough outline of what the interview committees would look like. And so tentatively right now, it's two interview committees, so that it's not whoever the candidates are have to stand up in front of, you know, 15, 20 people. So there'll be two groups, and it sounds like roughly six people per group. And it will include rank-and-file firefighters, it'll include board members, and it'll include some representation from the larger district, mm-hmm. whether it's the rural folks, other folks in either Northfield or Dundas. So the personnel committee is going to make a recommendation, or they're going to actually make a list to pull together to present to the board of what those committees will look like.
Once again, Tom Nelson and Paul Liebenstein from Northfield Area Fire and Rescue are with us, and we're talking about the budget process and the hiring process for a new fire chief and whether that will be full-time or part-time position. We'll have more on that, I suppose, in the next couple of months. Let's look at that budget, though, for 2023. Obviously, that fire chief position is going to be the biggest component that's not in this year's budget, but what about the rest of the budget? Does it vary very much from what we're seeing today?
Sure. So when there's a few things that come in right away, you know, we look at big ticket items that have been going on. $300,000 of our budget since the remodel redo of the fire station in 2018-19 is basically bond payments. And so we have to budget for that each year. And then typically in the past few years, we've been running about $500,000 as operations. So that makes about $800,000. And of that, we talked about it at the previous meeting where we approved this budget, is there's a lot of things going on. There's inflation, there's fuel costs, there's electricity at the fire station. And there's a lot of things, especially on the training side, that during COVID, obviously, the budget went down and spending went down because we couldn't send people to training. So we're all kind of caught now where we've got a lot of things lined up, as well as initiatives that I'm presenting for more training and more fire prevention and inspection work. Is we're trying to ramp up and get people to go to training again now that those are being offered. So those expenses that went away and now all of a sudden, well, now they're coming back.
The board has been talking quite some time about becoming your own taxing district, and that's not something you just do at the spur of the moment. There's a process that you have to get through. Have you been, has the board, Paul, been actively pursuing that over the course of this summer since last time we talked to you?
Yeah, there's a committee there that's been working on that, and I don't know, Tom, is that coming up in the next month or the following month?
It will be in August at some point. We'll be getting together again with more research and kind of next steps to get that pushing ahead. I brought up in the board meeting, I go to the Dakota County Chiefs meetings, and the city of South St. Paul and West St. Paul have been a joint powers board called South Metro Fire, and their chief announced at our last meeting that his councils said, we are going to be a taxing district by the end of, or by the first of the year. So an extremely aggressive timeline. But a lot of legislation, and Glenn Castor, our treasurer and board member, have been really active in that. And a lot of the legislation has changed to make it not so onerous to make something like this. And so it'll be interesting to see. All eyes on our side will be on South Metro Fire to see if they're able to crank that through. And so I think we are finding that if it's looking like it's going to be fairly easy, quote, to pull that together, we should push ahead maybe a little more aggressively.
It's kind of nice that you have a model, somebody blazing the trail
for
you.
Yeah, it's always
nice
to be, you know, number two.
There's a couple of them in the state
existing.
And they took acts of legislature to be formed at the time before the change in the laws on it. And so, yeah, there's a couple of them that we can kind of look at and use some of their things there. So I think on that, probably the biggest thing will be representation and how that is chosen. So we'll have to see what they come back and what some of the options are.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Northfield Area Fire and Rescue, the fire department's been around for 150 years, but 6 months from now in January, it may look a whole lot different than it does right now.
Yeah, and I think that I think of all these things as real back of house, that it's not going to change the operation front of house. It will make it easier for some of these things that, especially out in the townships where, you know, I've been told by Paul and Glenn that I'm going to be, well, they've requested that I meet with them just like I met with the city council last week and go through and explain why is the budget getting higher? Because they pay 20% of the NAFER's budget. And so they don't have the same luxuries that some of the municipalities do of being able to change levies and move that around because there's not that big a tax base. Mm-hmm. So
So the other thing with the townships where the cities right now need to have that done by when in September or whatever, when they set their levy, the townships did that back in March for next year. So we don't really have that opportunity to plug this in for a year. If it goes through, we're going to have to scramble. The townships are going to have to scramble to kind of come up with that money for a year, because that part is already passed for them.
Mm-hmm. Glenn Castor explained to the board that the Northfield Fire Protection District does have reserves, but that isn't going to go on. You know, you have that amount of money for a certain amount of time, and so I feel like the goal there is to get, we can use that to come into the next budget year, but we should definitely be working on moving to the taxing district.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gentlemen, anything else about Northfield Area Fire and Rescue or the things we've talked about?
I think that's pretty well it. To be able to come out of the 150th and at least, no matter how it is, we got through the budget process. And when you actually kind of are able to get through that, that's always a little celebration.
So. Sigh of relief. All right. Well, enjoy the peace while it's here, I guess. Thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey,
thanks for having us.
From Northfield Area Fire and Rescue, we have Board Chair Paul Liebenstein, along with Tom Nelson, the interim fire chief. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMN Northfield.